Antique dolls sit beside a 1950s radio. Neshama Releasing presents A Really Real Films and Neshama Entertainment Production. A young woman in a nightgown sits at a vanity and writes in a journal. Then she studies her reflection in the antique mirror. She fingers the pendant around her neck, then looks to the door. Title: V.C. Andrews, Web of Dreams. The young woman, Lee, smiles as she holds a blue dress. Starring Jennifer Laporte, Max Lloyd-Jones, David Lewis, Tim Donat, Liam Hughes, and Cindy Busby. Lee spins in front of the mirror wearing the blue dress. Her hairstyle and the dress are reminiscent of the mid-20th century. Lee's expression changes to concern, and she clasps her hands together. She stands very still, and her image morphs into the painting hanging over the mantel at Farthingale. A modern-day Porsche passes through Farthingale's gates and speeds up the driveway toward the house.
Looks like we're early.
From the car, a young couple view a funeral.
You sure you want to do this?
You don't have to if you don't want to.
He was my father.
I know, but it's only been a few years since you've known that.
The woman, Annie, considers.
It doesn't matter.
Her husband, Luke, nods.
All right.
A butler opens the door for Luke and Annie. They step into the mansion's dark foyer and look around. Annie's attention is drawn to the large staircase leading to the second floor. She follows Luke's gaze to a metal wheelchair. Her eyes widen, and she recalls the chair tumbling down the stairs as she collapses at the top.
What is it?
She turns to him, and another flood of memories comes. Her wheelchair smashing into a bedpost, her thigh being injected.
You okay?
He grabs her shoulders.
I am now. It's not like when I was here.
Annie, listen. I'll never let anything happen to you like that again. Okay? Ever. I promise. You understand me?
Yeah. I know.
Executive producers Arnie Zapersky, Rick Nish, Fernando Zhu, Jason Priestley, Kelly Rutherford, Jane Starts, Dan Angel. Luke and Annie approach Lee's portrait.
That's my grandmother, Lee. I need to know what happened to her.
Has no one been able to tell you anything?
Nobody knows anything. Maybe she's just one more in a long line of my family's secrets.
Written by Andy B. Rost. Based upon the novel by V.C. Andrews. Directed by Mike Roll. Annie and Luke step toward a colorful mural that covers a wall. Annie pulls off a curtain that covers it.
Whoa.
A bloody figure.
Her mother Jillian painted this. You know, I have a feeling I wasn't the only one who suffered here. But I want to know for sure.
I'll go with the priest when we arrive.
Annie studies the mural's demons and monsters. Then Annie opens the door to an upstairs bedroom. Sunlight streams into the dusty room. Dolls adorn the mantel over the hearth. White sheets cover furniture. Annie steps toward a bedside table covered in dolls. Annie spins around.
Rye Whiskey, it's you.
Miss Annie. Oh, it's been a long while, hasn't it?
They hug.
And here you are, looking like an all-grown-up lady. Fit as a fiddle. My. Oh, it sure is good to see you. Although it's a shame it's under such sad circumstances.
It's good to see you, too.
I have something for you. It belonged to your grandmother, Lee.
Are you sure this is for me?
Yes, sir.
The journal.
It's from your father, Troy. He told me to give it to you right before he died. It's her diary. My deepest condolences to you and your family, Miss Annie. God bless you.
Thank you, Ryan.
He nods and turns to go. The brown leather journal is embossed with a heart. Annie undoes the diary's clasp. We flash to Lee as a young woman in the 1950s.
I'm so happy. My birthday is finally here. And my coming out party is in just a few days. Of course, My mother says that a proper lady should stop counting her birthdays after 28. But I never will. I still don't understand why she thinks birthdays are nothing but pain. Because to me, it's the best day of the year. Even better than Christmas. Lord, forgive me.
Thank you.
A maid pours tea as a man writes. A stack of wrapped gifts sit beside him. Lee enters the dining room.
There's so many of them.
She runs to him.
Thank you, Papa.
He stands and they hug.
Happy birthday, dear.
Yes, happy birthday, doll.
Thank you.
Her mother, Jillian, enters.
Lee, open that one first.
She lifts the lid and pulls out the hard-embossed book.
It's a diary. Think of it as your own personal captain's log.
Captain's log?
Yeah, to record the fantastic journey of your life, my child.
Yes, Cleve, however, she's not a child anymore. She's a young lady.
That's right. Maybe it's time to start figuring out what you want to do with your life. Perhaps go into cruise ships like your old man?
Cruise ships are hardly ladylike, and in your case, barely profitable.
Well, maybe not enough for some.
Indeed not.
Cleve winks at Lee, then glares at Jillian, who rises from the table.
Mama, are you leaving?
Oh, well, I have to go get my hair cut and styled and a manicure for your big night. It's all about you, Lee.
Jillian smiles and leaves. That evening, in Lee's bedroom.
I spared no expense for your coming out party.
It's beautiful, Mama.
A grown-up dress for a grown-up woman.
Lee cradles the pink strapless gown.
Wait, there's more.
Jillian retrieves a small jar from the bag.
What does this do?
It will make your skin soft and supple. It's never too soon to fight the ghoulish aging process.
Can you tell me that story again? Of when you were young?
I still am young.
I mean when you were a girl.
Lee beams at her mother. Jillian nods, lifts her skirt, and sits on the edge of Lee's bed.
When I was a girl, not much older than you are now, which wasn't that long ago, I didn't have what you have. I was forced to work like a dog, with my sisters ordering me around. They would tell me that I...
Jillian looks over her shoulder and her face darkens.
Well...
Then she stands and approaches a mirror.
They used to tell me that I was ugly, Lee. Ugly and gangly. And that I would never find a husband.
You've always been beautiful, Mama.
Jillian turns, her curled golden locks resting on her shoulders.
Thank you for lying, Lee.
I'm not lying.
Jillian blinks and lifts her chin, then sits with Lee.
Everything changed when a man came to town looking to marry. My sisters had their own designs on him. While they were fussing and primping their dresses, I had to clean the house. But then do you know who he chose?
You, Mama? You and Papa are both so lucky.
She shakes her head.
It wasn't just luck. I had been watching and learning how ladies behave. How to lure a man. How to make him want me to be their ornament.
Lee's eyes widen.
Because, Lee, women never get to really have their own lives. They must be accessories to the lives of men.
We do?
Oh, yes. And now that you're older, I must teach you. If you have nice hair, heels, and expensive clothes, and your natural beauty, you can have any man you want.
Someone like Papa?
Jillian clenches her jaw.
Set your sights higher. And by higher, I mean richer. True wealth.
A car pulls into Farthingale's Drive.
For your party this weekend, I am taking you somewhere so you can see the kind of life you should strive for. And the kind of man.
A butler opens the door to Jillian and Lee. As they step in, Lee surveys the posh interior. Jillian smiles at a man in a suit as he descends the stairs.
Mm.
Isn't she, darling?
Lee, this is Tony Tatterton.
Tony gazes at Lee as he takes her hand and kisses it.
Welcome to my humble abode.
Lee observes Tony lean toward Jillian and kiss her cheek. A boy enters.
Ah. And this is my baby brother, Troy.
I'm not a baby.
Hello, Troy.
Hello.
Now come. We must show you what your mother has been up to in her spare time.
They observe a painted mural. The same one Annie and Luke saw earlier.
Mama, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Well, Lee, I'm not quite finished yet.
The only thing that would make it better is if Jillian was in it herself.
You're too kind, thank you.
Lee, look. Your mother put me in it.
He points to an elf.
Imagine. This kind of talent at the age of 28.
But Mama is...
Tony, why don't I get started here and you can show Lee the rest of the estate?
But Mama, I want to watch you paint.
Well, I can only work alone, dear.
Let me show you around then.
Go on, doll.
They walk in the rain.
Is Farthingale where you grew up?
The only home I've ever known.
I've only lived in our home, too. Even though Papa travels so very often.
Well, we both must broaden your horizons.
There's the maze.
He points.
Wow, that looks fun.
Don't let it fool you. People have gotten lost in there.
She eyes a wall of thick cedar hedges from beneath an umbrella.
Troy, why don't you take Lee to the studio to show her some Tatterton toys?
They head back to the house. Later, Troy leads Lee by the hand as they walk upstairs. When they reach the landing, Lee turns her head toward a bedroom door. Then she peeks in and watches Tony zip up Jillian's dress. He leans in and kisses her neck.
Stay till midnight.
Lee gawks. Jillian spots Lee.
Oh, there you are.
Lee runs off. Later in the car.
Really, I don't know what you think you saw.
He was zipping up your dress.
Because it came unzipped.
Oh, my. You're adorable. Such an imagination. The things you think of. Wouldn't it be magnificent to live like that? That is a real businessman.
He inherited everything from his family's toy company.
Yeah, so what?
Papa founded his own company.
And all he does is work. And he's a penny away from bankruptcy. You deserve better than that. Which is why tomorrow night is so special. You are going to be introduced to some of the best families from Boston, Newport, New York. And most importantly, their sons.
The next evening, in the pink dress, Lee greets guests with her parents. Jillian looks to the door.
Oh, it's Henry. His father is in pharmaceuticals.
Good evening.
Cleve greets Henry. Then, Jillian does.
Nice to meet you.
Henry shakes Lee's hand. Then Tony walks past Cleve.
Jillian, you look stunning.
Tony, you're gonna make me blush. Tony, this is my husband, Cleve.
Ah,
Tony, I've heard about the mural. I trust you're pleased.
Oh, it's magnificent.
How about that?
Oh, excuse me.
Jillian guides Cleve toward guests. Tony leans in and kisses Lee's cheek.
You're a dream.
She smiles.
Hello, Tony. Did Troy come?
Oh, he's quite easily tired these days. It's better left at home.
Come, Tony. Let's go get a drink.
Jillian whisks Tony away. A waiter in a tuxedo carries flutes of champagne on a tray. Lee is dancing with Henry when Tony cuts in.
Man.
Tony takes Lee's hand.
I have been waiting all evening for this day.
You have?
He studies her face. Cleve approaches them.
Before you tire yourself out, may I have a moment?
Lee takes her father's hand and they exit. She looks back at Tony as she leaves. Tony grits his teeth. Lee and Cleve sit on a bench in the hall.
You know, one day I'm going to have to give you away at the altar, Lee, so I better get used to lines of boys vying for your attention.
Lee laughs and glances downward.
Still, even though you'll be married, I want you to have a choice.
Something that is yours and yours alone. Perhaps a college degree, a career, your own goals and agency.
Lee nods and smiles warmly as Cleve reaches down.
I got you something.
He hands her a jewelry box. She flips the lid with gloved hands and picks up a small card from inside.
Listen to your heart and the waves will take you there.
She beams at him, then looks down at the gold pendant in the shape of a steamliner.
May I?
She nods and hands him the box. He undoes the clasp and they stand. She turns and he fastens the necklace around her neck. She places her hand on the pendant and spins around to face him.
I love it, Papa.
I love you, sweetie.
They embrace. Moments later, they rejoin the party, smiling and chatting until they look to the dance floor and see Jillian and Tony laughing and dancing close. Lee notices as Tony caresses Jillian's hips. Cleve steps in.
What are you doing? You are embarrassing me. You're drunk.
Jillian grabs Cleve's arm and leads him out. Lee sees them go.
I take out bank loans for your furs and still you act like you are suffering because we only have one servant.
Teresa Hines has four and she is 10 years younger.
All you care about is who's who and your face and your hair.
My who's who and my face and my hair are what have gotten me here today. And they will take me somewhere else. You and your silly little boats can hit an iceberg for all I care. I want a divorce.
Lee watches from the hall.
The divorce it is.
Lee's chest heaves as Cleve walks out. Jillian pulls up her gloves, then notices Lee, observing with tears in her eyes. The next morning, a driver puts Cleve's suitcase in the trunk of his car. Lee watches through the window and fingers her necklace as Cleve nods at her and gets in. She holds back tears as she watches her father's car pull round the circular driveway and leave. Later, the gold pendant rests in her hand as she sits in her parents' bedroom.
Is he gone?
Yes.
Finally.
Where have you been all day?
Reclaiming myself.
Bags sit on the bed.
Papa is devastated. How could you do this to him?
Do what? He's running the business into the ground. I practically have to abandon ship before it sinks. After all, I know more about business than he does.
Lee faces her.
Funny business, you mean? Like going all the way with Tony Tatterton?
Lee recoils from the slap to her face. She looks at Jillian in disbelief. Jillian's face registers regret, and she steps toward Lee.
It's just us now, Lee. We have to be strong. We have to create new beginnings.
Lee nods tearfully.
Okay, Mama. Tony has been such a wonderful patron. He wanted to share my mural with all of you.
How marvelous, a party to celebrate your mural. I love it.
It's so sui generis.
Thank you, you're too kind.
All the more impressive given your age.
How's that?
Well, don't they say artistic development rarely occurs after the age of 30?
You know, you remind me of someone I once knew. The resemblance is striking.
Who is that?
My great-grandmother.
The woman's face falls and she moves off as Jillian smiles sweetly. Tony moves through the crowd toward Lee, who is looking at the painting.
So, Lee.
He faces her.
What do you think of your mother's masterpiece?
I really had no idea she was this good. She could make a career of it.
When you're wealthy, you don't need a career. That's why it's a hobby. Much more ladylike. Look at the detail. Passion and authority in every brushstroke. That's what makes it beautiful, Lee. Even great. I learned that toy making. And it's corroborated tonight by your stunning presence in that dress.
He eyes her plunging neckline.
How you've developed these past few weeks.
She glances away.
Your style, that is. Like a movie star. Before, you seemed to be just a child.
She looks past him to the mural.
If only Papa could see this, then maybe he would understand Mama more. And then they could get back together. And then, I guess it must be easy to assume a woman like my Mama must be single. So perhaps you could talk to my Papa and explain the misunderstanding.
Her eyes search his.
You're so sweet.
Later, at dinner, Tony holds a glass of wine.
Everyone.
A table of guests.
This remarkable woman.
Jillian.
And brilliant artist at my side tonight. Has brought life, love, and magic into this house. And I never want that to change.
She beams.
That's why Jillian and I have an announcement to make.
Lee and Troy watch curiously as Tony opens a ring box to show Jillian.
We're getting married.
Lee's face falls as she watches Tony slide a ring on Jillian's finger.
Tony!
She holds her hand up, admiring the ring as he kisses her. Then Tony leers at Lee.
Of course, you are all invited to the ceremony, which will take place here at Farthing, 1 week before Christmas. There's more. Jillian and her lovely daughter, Lee, will be moving in here, toot suite.
Please, Mom, no. Shh. You expect me to give up everything that I know? Everyone that I love? My school? My friends? I will not move in here, and I will not let you ruin my life!
Lee storms out.
Hello?
Papa?
Cleve looks up.
I'm so glad that you're there.
His brow furrows.
What's wrong, kitten?
Everything. They're getting married.
You have to stop it.
Well, your mother has her own free will.
Maybe you can ask her to take you
back, and she'll say no.
Stay away from her, Cleve.
Jillian, wait. Jillian!
Cleve bites his lip.
How dare you embarrass me in front of all those people? Do you want me to send you to boarding school in Switzerland and have the nuns crack your knuckles with rulers? I'd be happy to do it. It certainly would make my life easier.
I'd rather move there than here.
Stop being an ingrate. This is one of the finest estates in the country.
Don't make me move out of our home. You and
your
I can live there.
Your father and I have sold the house and we've already signed the divorce papers. It's over, Lee.
Jillian walks away, leaving Lee standing alone. She looks toward the hallway and sees Tony watching her. He smiles and leaves. She turns away.
Now remember, this is going to be the finest wedding
of Lee strolls outside.
There is no expense.
Lee spies a young man on a bicycle approach the gate. She takes a few steps closer to him, away from her mother. The young man rolls up to the gate and stops. Lee watches him curiously. A slight smile crossing her lips.
And no orange.
He smiles and waves through the gate. She waves back. Flowers. He hops on his bike and rides off. Lee turns back to her mother.
Careful. That is baccarat crystal. It is worth a fortune.
And be careful with the canvases.
Lee walks up.
I think we should use the guest list from Lee's coming out party as a starting point for the wedding. Who would turn down an invite? And no extravagance is too extravagant.
Can we invite Papa to the wedding?
Honey, it's pointless to live in the past. We must move on. Besides,
Jillian embraces her.
Look at this place. Isn't it fantastic?
Lee frowns.
Now, I've been thinking.
Jillian heads inside, leaving Lee standing on the driveway alone when Tony approaches.
While your mother fusses with all this, I'll show you to your suite.
Lee gulps and follows him in. A fire burns in the hearth as Lee glances around her room. Red floor-length curtains hang at the three windows, and pillows adorn a four-post bed.
Is this my room?
Tony saunters in.
It's your suite, Lee.
He walks over and rests his hand on a bedpost.
Down the hall is a separate sitting room and a private study. And, of course, your own private bathroom.
Lee notices a table with three dolls posed on it. She crouches and touches them.
Those are mine. For my company.
They're marvelous.
He watches her. She feels his eyes on her and returns the gaze. Then she stands nervously and he straightens. She steps past him toward the bed, turns and sits down on the mattress. He steps closer with his hands in his pockets.
I take that you like it.
She turns her head toward him and nods.
I'll leave you to it. I'll send up your governess so you can meet her.
My governess?
Lady must be attended to.
Tony turns and swaggers out. Lee stands and checks her appearance in the mirror as she sits at her new vanity table.
What lovely thick hair you've got. My name is Edith.
Lee stands and curtsies.
Oh, you mustn't curtsy for me, dear.
My father said that a lady always shows respect to anyone.
Well, he sounds like a wonderful man.
Troy approaches.
How do you like your suite, Lee? It's even bigger than mine.
It's wonderful.
Perhaps we could go play. Would you like to see the maze?
She nods.
Let's go.
They head out.
Every summer, Tony has his gardeners plant new trees and change the maze so it's unique. He doesn't want anyone getting bored or running out of things to do here.
I don't think I'll ever run out of things to do here.
They trudge through the cedar corridor.
The trick to finding the way out if you're lost? Candies.
Where does the maze go?
I've actually never gone to the end myself. It's just dead end after dead end.
He drops candy.
Which is why we have the candies.
Good idea.
He drops another. Inside, Jillian applies makeup as she lies in bed with Tony.
I'm going to become a photographer. And make you my sole subject. I'll be more famous than Ansel Adams.
She runs her sponge along her brow, then along her jawline.
Let's go again, shall we?
Again? I just fixed my makeup.
He flips her compact mirror closed. Outside in the maze, Lee and Troy turn to face a wall of gray cloud when lightning strikes.
I think it's gonna rain. We should head back.
Okay. Follow me.
Lee rushes after him. They approach a candy lying on the ground.
Let's hurry.
This way?
Troy's eyes search the ground as Lee follows him. He spots a candy and stops. Then he looks back at Lee and shrugs. They run off in another direction. They round one shrub and then another.
Where are the candies?
Lee looks down.
The leaves are covering them.
They bend down and scour the ground, casting the leaves aside. They look up at the sky. The wind blows their hair. They stand and Lee puts her arm around Troy when suddenly, lightning strikes. Inside, Tony brings Jillian a drink in bed.
I can't wait to call you Mrs. Tatterton.
Mr. Tatterton, I'm so sorry. I'm worried about Troy and Lee.
Why?
I can't find them. We've looked at the beach, the barn, everywhere, and that storm is rolling in.
Tony looks to Jillian, then back at the closed door.
The maze.
He gets up to go.
Someone! Help!
Lee leads Troy by the hand.
My hands are so cold. I can't feel them. Okay.
She rubs them.
Here, take this.
No.
Her coat.
You need it. Come on. It's okay.
Inside, Tony slides his jacket on.
You stay here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Tony takes an umbrella and rushes for the door. His driver and butler follow him out into the night. Jillian drinks from her glass.
Help! Anybody?
Come on, it's okay.
They hide under a fountain.
It's okay. Stay quiet. Come close.
Troy! Lee, where are you? Wait!
Tony stops.
Hey! Troy!
Help!
Troy! Do you hear that?
He looks around.
Sounds like the wind to me, sir!
Help!
This way!
Help!
They shine flashlights.
Lee!
Tony, we're
Troy!
Here!
Lee stands up as they approach.
Hey! Hey, I'm here! You okay?
Cold.
Troy shivers.
Get them back to the house now! Get them back! You okay?
Yes!
Troy is carried off.
Here, put this on. Hurry. Let's go.
Tony covers her with his coat and leads her out. The butler carries blankets into the living room.
Thank you. We're going to need more blankets and some hot water. Thank you.
The doctor's on his way.
Yes, sir. Is Troy going to be okay?
He does have a touch of hypothermia. With his delicate constitution, one never knows, but I think so.
Troy rests on the sofa.
He's going to be okay, Lee. Thanks to you. Come on. Let's get you warm. You must be freezing to the bone.
Edith tucks Troy in. Upstairs, a clawfoot tub is full of bubbles. Tony stands beside it with his hands on his hips, watching it fill. Lee appears at the doorway in a dressing gown. He steps closer with his hands in his pockets.
You gave Troy your coat. You saved him. You truly are a remarkable woman.
He looks at her face, then down at her robe. He reaches for the sash.
Take it off.
Her arms are folded across her chest. She gestures for him to leave.
There's no need to be shy or feel ashamed. We'll soon be family. And there are no secrets among family.
Tony moves to the doorway and turns away. Lee steps toward the tub and looks over her shoulder before disrobing. Her bare leg dips into the water. She settles into the bath and pulls her knees to her chest and looks at the bubbles to make sure they cover her.
Are you in?
Yes.
His top button is open as he glances over his shoulder at her.
Is it warm enough?
She nods, and he advances slowly toward her. He places his hand on the edge of the tub and crouches down. He looks into her eyes intensely, then turns away and grabs a sponge. He dips it into the water. He runs the sponge up her arm to her shoulder.
You're perfect. Your skin. Your hair. Flawless. Beautiful inside and out.
He smiles and wets his lips with his tongue. Then he places his hand on her shoulder and massages it.
You don't have to.
I do. We have to get the blood flow to return.
He smiles, and she eyes his hand.
Relax.
Please. It's okay. You don't need to. I don't want you to.
He stops. She watches him cautiously.
My sweet, sweet daughter.
She cringes as she feels his gaze on her.
I have the most marvelous idea. I want you to model for me.
Model?
For my new line of bespoke dolls. I need a new prototype.
Lee spots Jillian.
You're perfect.
Tony turns.
Darling, what do you think? Isn't it brilliant?
Indeed. Brilliant of Lee.
He leans in to Lee.
I have to go check on Troy.
He winks at her, then stands and shares a smile with Jillian as he exits. Jillian's smile fades as she steps toward Lee.
Are you warm now?
Lee cradles her knees and nods.
Do you like sitting there, naked, with a man? My man? Just like your mama?
Lee looks puzzled. Jillian bends down and glares at her.
That little stunt out there? You don't think I see it?
I'm confused. We were playing and...
Tony is mine. He is marrying me.
Of course he's marrying you, Mother. Are you okay?
Jillian blinks and shifts her gaze away from Lee. She gently shakes her head.
I need to take a pill and sleep.
Jillian's face softens.
It's been a long day.
Jillian leaves Lee alone. The next morning in the dining room, a woman shows Jillian photos of wedding dresses.
This one's a bit plain, isn't it?
None of the off-the-racks will do. So see if we can get some material samples from the designers.
The woman goes. Lee enters as Jillian sips tea.
Hmm. Oh, good morning, Lee. Oh, my. We really must do something with your hair before the wedding. Are you hungry?
A maid appears.
She would like a grapefruit.
Jillian crinkles her nose as she smiles at the maid.
Where are Troy and Tony?
At the doctor's office. Last night he asked Tony to bring Troy first thing for another evaluation.
Oh my God.
He's fine. He's a sickling. I wanted to apologize about last night. When I saw Tony tending you in the tub, it put me into a state of confusion. Emotional confusion. And I don't want anything to be strange.
But wasn't it? Him bathing me felt improper. I didn't like it.
Oh, he's going to be your father soon. So you need to get over your silly teen hang-ups.
The maid brings grapefruit.
Now, why don't you help me plan our honeymoon? That'll cheer us up. What do you say?
The butler hands Jillian a telegram. She reads it.
Oh, God. Your grandmother is going to be here later today.
Grandma Jana? What's the occasion?
The same as it always is. The opportunity to meddle.
Jillian sips tea as Lee heaves a sigh. Suitcases are placed in the foyer as Grandma Jana enters and surveys Farthingale.
Grandma Jana!
Oh. Hey there, sugar.
They hug.
I've come to check on you. They treating you well?
She nods.
Okay, I guess.
Where are they, your mother and this boy she's gonna marry?
Tony Tatterton. Welcome.
Oh, goodness. You really are only a boy. My daughter could be your mother.
Darling.
Jillian embraces Jana and her smile fades.
Let's get you settled in.
Indeed. Jillian, show Mrs. Jenkins to her room.
Jana follows Jillian to the stairs.
Where did you get that accent? Mother, darling.
It's called class. And how long did you plan on staying?
As long as it takes to make sure that you are on the up and up.
Jillian rolls her eyes. In the foyer, Tony eyes Lee, then walks off. A fire burns in the hearth. Troy plays with an electric train set. Lee is beside him.
Oh, Mother, I don't care what you think, and it's none of your business anyway.
I'll be right back, Troy, okay?
Do you think it was easy to find a respectable man like Cleve to marry you when you already had a bun in the oven?
You don't know that.
Oh, come on. Jillian, you know as well as I do. She looks nothing like Cleve. I don't know who you're trying to fool.
Lee listens.
She's not his.
Where are you going?
To get to know your Mr. Tatterton.
Mama, wait. You have no right!
Jillian sips her drink and storms back to the bar. Lee's mouth is agape.
But is it true? Am I not your daughter?
Lee.
Cleve's eyes search as he holds the phone.
You are my daughter.
And I am your father, and that's all that matters.
Lee sits on her bed.
Are you okay, sweetheart?
Yes.
She rests a hand on her waist.
Yes, I'm okay, Papa.
Listen, I will always be here for you, always.
And I don't care what your mother says.
We can visit sometime.
Would you like that?
Very much.
Good.
We'll sneak around like she did.
You are such a little grown-up, aren't you?
Well, I think that is an excellent idea.
I love you. Bye-bye, kid.
Bye.
A woman stands in the doorway, unseen by Lee. Lee heaves a sigh and turns to see Grandma Jana.
You know, Lee, I came here to rescue you from your mother. But I'm very pleased to see how strong you are. Mr. Tatterton, Tony and I were just chatting, and he was telling me how well you're getting along here. Actually, I think you're going to be okay.
You do?
I do. And maybe... maybe...
She sits beside Lee.
This is where you need to be right now. You'll get the education you need. and you will become a fine young woman.
Lee nods sadly. Jana holds out her arms to Lee. They embrace.
Listen. If things get too bad, I don't want you doing anything foolish. So you call me and I'll bring you right back to Texas to live with me.
Lee's eyes glisten with tears. They hug again.
Oh, don't cry. Come on now. You're going to be perfectly fine here. And this fella, Tony, he seems like a real gentleman. He can guide you, protect you from your mother. I trust him.
Jana cocks her head.
He has those Dean Martin eyes.
Lee sighs heavily. Later, Grandma Jana heads to the front door. She waves at Lee. Lee waves back somberly. She watches out the window as the car takes off. Lee steps back into the foyer and is confronted by...
This is your doing, isn't it?
What is it, Mama?
It's a prenup, is what it is. It's our ruin. I could just wring your neck.
Mama, I didn't do anything.
If Tony and I were to divorce, we wouldn't get a dime.
But why would you get a divorce?
Because look at you.
I swear I didn't do anything.
And look at me. The clock keeps ticking, Lee.
But Tony loves you. You're the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Jillian's face softens. She lifts her chin and swallows hard.
It was Mother. Poisoning the well.
She shakes her head.
Who knows what she said?
Jillian spins around.
Did he say anything?
Lee's brow furrows as she shakes her head.
She's always been jealous.
Jealous of what?
Of my ability to attract men.
Jillian paces toward her.
Of my youth. Because I'm young.
Jillian glances off, considering.
And yet not.
Mama, you're not making any sense.
Jillian takes a step toward her.
My sweet daughter. I'm so sorry.
Lee's eyes search Jillian's.
The stress has just been overwhelming. But after the wedding, everything will go back to normal, I promise you.
Lee shrugs and nods.
But I need you to promise me something in return.
Lee nods earnestly.
That you won't take Tony away from me.
Why would I ever?
I know that you want a grand life of your own someday. And someday, you will have it. Your own life and your own strapping young man.
I want a man like Papa.
Jillian looks at her and nods. Then she steps past Lee.
Except since the divorce. When has he last visited? Has he reached out? Does he write?
But he said he would.
Lee's eyes are wet with tears when Jillian turns.
But did he?
Lee cries softly as she shakes her head.
And how many letters have you written him? I don't know how many we've sent out for you.
A lot.
Lee charges out past Jillian. Jillian watches her go with a steely gaze. Later, Jillian flips through more than a dozen letters addressed to Lee from Cleve. She turns and drops them in the waste bin.
John Horowitz, please. John, it's Jillian. I need you to write my ex-husband a legal letter.
Jillian holds the phone.
He's not Lee's father, and I can prove it. I don't want him filling her head with nonsensical ideas and butting into my affairs. He needs to stay away. Or else.
In wedding attire, Jillian and Tony step out the front doors of Farthingale to a sea of guests standing on the driveway. Jillian kisses Troy and Lee, then turns away. Tony kisses Lee's cheek and smiles at Troy. The newlyweds step into the back seat of their car and wave out the window as it drives off. Lee's arm is around Troy's shoulder and they share a smile. She looks concerned.
Okay.
He nods as she rubs his back. The next day, they stroll through a park.
Trung, are you okay?
I'm okay. Tony said I am.
The cyclist Lee saw before.
Hi.
He smiles at them as he rides past. Lee's face brightens.
Let's get you to bed.
Where Santa comes?
She nods.
Come on.
Later, a maid tends the fire. Troy grabs a present from under the tree for Lee.
This one's for me.
He places it down. Lee lifts the lid, reaches in, and pulls out a toy rocking chair carved from wood.
It's beautiful. Oh, thank you.
Merry Christmas, Lee.
They hug, then Lee's face sombers. She leaves Troy and walks toward a stack of cards on a table. She picks them up and looks through them. Troy's brow furrows and he grabs his belly. He coughs into a tissue, leans on a table, then collapses.
Troy?
He is unconscious on the floor.
Troy, no.
She finds a bloody tissue.
Help! Please, someone help! Troy, help!
A man in a white uniform wheels an oxygen tank into Troy's hospital room. A nurse assists the doctor as he adjusts Troy's oxygen mask. Lee cries.
What's wrong with him?
The nurse faces her.
It's pneumonia. Very serious. We're gonna try to make him comfortable, but no more disruptions today.
I wanna stay with him.
We need you to get in touch with your parents.
I tried. They're on their honeymoon.
Try again. It's urgent. He may not make it.
Lee's cheeks are damp. She watches Troy's ventilator inflate. Later, she sleeps on a chair beside his bed. She dreams about Tony and the bathtub. She jolts awake, gasping, then turns to see Troy still in bed. Tony enters.
He came as soon as we heard.
Jillian follows him in. Tony kneels at Troy's bedside.
Thank you again and again, Lee, for staying by his side.
He kisses her hand and she glances down.
Did you talk to the doctor?
He's not responding to medication. His fever is so high that all his organs could fail.
Ah. Tony spots the doctor.
Doctor, I need a word.
He leaves.
Listen, I'm exhausted from the flight. Why don't you come home with me and help me unpack? I have a gift for you.
Someone has to look after Troy.
A gift, Lee. And Tony's here now. Come. Now.
Lee shakes her head firmly.
Fine. Stay. What do I care?
Lee's brow furrows. Later, Lee and Tony eat lunch in Troy's room.
I don't know what's happened, but your mother suddenly turned a cold shoulder to me. Strange. All this constant fretting in the mirror. What do you make of it?
Lee puts down her spoon.
She just tries to be beautiful.
She tries. Some people just are.
Tony looks over his shoulder at Troy lying in the hospital bed. Then he looks off for a moment before turning back.
Why don't we head back to Farthy? And we can discuss our new doll.
Troy.
He's going to be just fine here. He's getting the very best of care.
Back at his workshop, Tony lifts a sheet that covers an easel. Lee studies the portrait of her in a blue dress, the same one from earlier.
It's beautiful.
I've painted in my spare time. For memory, in fact. But as unforgettable as your beauty is, I'll have to sketch you in person for the doll. We might have to get a little more in depth. Understood?
Lee looks uncertain as she nods.
Well, now that you see my vision for you.
He reaches for a hanger with a sheer white nightgown on it.
Go change into this.
Lee eyes the garment, then looks back at him. Later, Tony arranges pencils as he waits. Behind him, Lee steps into view. He turns to look at her as she approaches in the nightgown. She folds her arms across her chest.
It's cold.
I'll turn up the heat.
He eyes her body and tosses his pencils on the desk. He approaches her.
Posture is...
He runs a finger...
Everything.
...down her spine.
For creating shape.
He places one hand on her back and one on her chest.
Chest out.
She straightens.
Can you hold like this?
I think so.
He walks back to his easel and sits on the stool facing it. He holds up his hand, gesturing for her to stay still. She fingers her locket, then straightens up. Later that evening, Tony sketches with pencil by candlelight. Around the room, dolls are posed on tables alongside candles. Lee sits still in her low-cut nightgown. He grimaces and bites his fingernail as he looks at his work. He looks up at her.
No. Listen, Lee.
He brings a hand to his mouth.
I need you nude.
Lee stares at him open-mouthed.
Nude?
Lee poses for Tony.
Like fully naked?
Yes, that's what that means.
But...
So please. Otherwise there'll be no doll.
No. No.
There is no other way.
She folds her arms across her body.
Look, these...
He opens a book.
...are the masters. Best in history. Now what do you see?
A nude sculpture.
I don't know.
Beauty, Lee. Beauty! And our betters, years ago, they weren't ashamed of the human body. They celebrated it. And I want...
He turns to face her.
I need to celebrate yours in the same way.
Can we talk to Mama?
I am your father, Lee. You don't need her permission.
It's not permission I want.
Then it's what?
He glares at her.
I should just talk to her.
Lee's mouth gapes open as Tony stares her down. Lee runs in to find Jillian wearing a compression mask, reading a fashion magazine.
Mama?
Yes?
I have a question.
Yes, what is it?
Tony wants me to pose for him. In the nude.
Lee grimaces. Jillian looks up at her.
Of course.
And then gazes away.
Of course.
I've worked too hard, Lee.
Lee frowns.
We must make him happy.
What? How?
By doing what he says.
But I don't want to go back, Mama.
The doll will bring us revenue.
She stands.
And it is art. You will become art.
Isn't that nice? And if he's happy,
my marriage is intact.
Mama, please don't make me go back.
You'll understand when you're older.
Lee looks stunned.
Just trust me.
Jillian holds Lee's shoulders, then turns away.
I'm going back to my beauty treatment.
Lee's chest heaves as she inhales sharply, then walks away. Jillian sips her martini. Lee returns to Tony's studio. Tony watches with anticipation as Lee turns her back to him and, with a pained look on her face, slides off the gown. She reaches around her back and unclasps her bra. She slips each strap off her shoulder and it drops to the ground. She turns around slowly. Tony licks his lips and heaves a sigh as he eyes her body.
Yes.
Her eyes are damp.
Final.
Her mouth puckers.
There you go.
She bites her lip as she cries. The next morning, she lies on her bed fully clothed and hugging a pillow.
Lee, my love.
She watches him enter.
I have a surprise for you.
Is it Troy?
She sits up.
Is he coming home? I miss him.
No, I'm afraid not. I'm still working on him. But...
He points.
I have something to show you.
Tony opens the door to his studio and Lee steps inside. She stands in front of a doll with a sheet draped over it. Tony joins her and grabs the sheet.
The finished prototype.
He smiles as he lifts it, revealing a dark-haired doll with red lips. It wears a red dress and white jacket. Tony gestures for her to pick it up. She takes the doll and spins it around. Expressionless, she runs her hands over the doll's hips.
What? What is it?
It's just... it's not me at all.
But it is you.
But the detail. It's the body of a grown woman.
Well, it's your mother's. A clever amalgam of the two of you. I told you about artistic license.
But
what?
It's humiliating.
She drops it.
It's profane.
Profane.
He glares at her. Then he swipes his arm across the table, sending art supplies flying. He kicks a cart of books. Lee retreats from him.
I will not be told about my craft by a child.
You know what I would like? To make you into an everlasting sculpture!
Honey, please, I'm sorry.
He holds a knife near her neck. He looks down at the knife and then at her face. His expression changes and he steps back. She cries as he turns his back to her and leans on a table. She watches his back with her hands clasped. He picks up the doll and studies it.
It's fine, Lee. It's supposed to be a reflection of you.
His lip quivers.
So if you disagree so strongly...
He gulps and drops the doll.
And I'll just make another doll. I promise.
He spins around and approaches her.
I'm not a bad person, Lee.
She shakes as he lifts his hands.
Okay.
He wipes her tears.
This is just... part of the craft.
He strokes her cheek.
No.
He hugs her and her eyes widen. Lee writes in her journal as she sits at Troy's bedside in the hospital. He opens his eyes and looks around his oxygen tent.
Hello, sweet Troy.
Hey, it's you.
Tony and Jillian enter. Tony carries a box and smiles at Troy.
Hey, sports? How you feeling?
Better.
It's great.
Lee eyes Tony.
It's great.
Tony looks to Lee and hands her the box.
Have something for you.
She looks inside at a doll in a pink dress.
Open it up.
Tony purses his lips.
I changed the body to make it more doll-like in its innocence.
Lee smiles at the girl-like doll adorned in a modest dress.
It's beautiful.
Jillian watches Tony.
I know that you doubted me. And I forgive you.
The color drains from Lee's face.
What are you going to name her?
Lee smiles as she looks at the doll.
I'll name her...
She strokes its hair.
I'll name her Angel.
I love it. An angel for an angel. I'll tell the marketing department right away. And I have one more surprise. You didn't think I'd forgot about your birthday, did you?
He grins, then claps. A record spins on a turntable at Farthingale. A maid monitors a punch bowl as young people dance in front of the hearth. Pink and yellow balloons decorate the space. Edith pushes Troy in.
Troy!
He hugs Lee from his wheelchair.
I'm so happy that you're here.
I told the doctors if they didn't let me go, I'd hold my breath until I turned blue.
Then you'll stay?
As long as the cough doesn't come back. Edith, can we go get some food?
Yes, eat. You need to gain some weight.
Lee smiles and stands in a green dress with a fur stole wrapped around her shoulders. The young man on the bicycle enters with a present. He steps toward her and extends his hand.
Hi, I'm James. Pleased to finally meet you, Lee. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
She takes the gift. Later, they walk on the porch.
So, tell me more about yourself.
I don't know what to tell you.
Have you ever kissed a boy?
She looks down shyly and smiles. They stop.
Is that a yes?
Just my father.
He glances at her, smiling. She looks around, smiles and leans in to kiss James. When...
Get off of her, you dirty little rat!
Tony, please, what are
you... I'm making sure you don't defile yourself! Get out of here!
James takes off running.
This is my property. You will obey my rules. Now you will never to see that boy again!
Let go of me! You are not my father!
She yanks her arm out of his grasp and runs away from him. Tony breathes heavily. That night, in her dark bedroom, Lee enters wearing a nightgown. She walks toward her bed, not noticing Tony sitting at the fire.
We had to take Troy back to the hospital.
She jumps back in surprise.
He started coughing again.
She folds her hands and steps forward.
Oh my God.
She bites her lip.
Is he okay?
His doctors are very good.
Tony turns around.
Trust them.
He faces her, the roaring fire behind him. Then he brushes his hair back with his hands and steps toward her.
I wanted to apologize.
He walks closer until they are face to face.
I know I overreacted. But it's because I care about you so much. When I see you with a boy like that, I get so incensed.
He strokes her cheek.
I feel like someone's gonna take you away from me.
He touches her arm, then steps to the bed. He moves a pillow aside.
Here.
He pulls back the quilt.
Let me tuck you in.
He eyes her body and she quickly jumps in the bed and pulls the covers up to her chin. He leans on the bed with his head down. She turns her body away, but watches him carefully.
Good night.
He stares at her, unflinching.
Sweet dreams.
Then he stands. He turns off her lamp and starts toward the door. Firelight reflects on the headboard of her bed. He stops and closes his eyes. His mouth opens. His gaze hardens. Lee watches with vigilance as he takes off his robe. She sits up and clutches the blankets close as he walks toward her, unbuttoning his top. He takes his shirt off forcefully and steps toward the bed. Her eyes fill with fear. The room is dark except for the fire. Dolls sit at the foot of the bed, their faces bathed in firelight. Lee sits in a bathtub filled with bubbles. She examines red marks on her shoulder. She strokes it and looks straight ahead sullenly. Edith enters with towels.
Lee? What's wrong?
Lee gazes at her with dead eyes.
Why don't I make you some breakfast? I can bring it up to your room. Your mother's eaten and Tony's...
Where is he?
Well, he left this morning on an extended business trip.
For how long?
We're not sure, really. He didn't say.
Lee's breathing quickens as she nods.
I'll be back with your breakfast.
Edith leaves the towels. Lee watches her go. She covers the red mark on her shoulder. Jillian applies lipstick when Lee enters.
I need your help. Mama, please.
What is it?
Lee wears a dressing gown and rests her head on Jillian's lap. Jillian faces her.
The worst thing happened. Tony came to my room last night and he...
Jillian cocks her head.
He raped me.
Jillian turns back to face the mirror.
You dreamt it. He only has eyes for me, and who could blame him? Even though I won't touch him.
Mama, please listen to me.
Raped? You don't even know what that means.
Such an imagination.
But it happened. You dreamt it!
Now you will not speak of such things. Do you understand me? Now leave.
But Mama...
Why will you not mind me, child?
Because I'm not a child anymore.
Jillian clenches her jaw as Lee runs out. Lee storms into her room. She looks in the mirror, picks up a jewelry case, and hurls it at the glass, fracturing her reflection. She picks up the doll Tony made for her and prepares to throw it, but then stops. She looks at the doll and cradles it to her chest. Later that day, Lee is dressed as she walks through the living room carrying the doll. She sits on the sofa and strokes the doll's hair as Jillian enters in a fur coat. Her mother stops and glares at her. Lee stares back tearfully, then puts the doll down and picks up her diary instead. Jillian leaves as Lee begins to write.
He's been gone almost 7 weeks, and I can still feel his weight, his ugly smell. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can barely breathe. I have no peace. I feel as though I'm awaiting my execution, listening for the inevitable snap of the rope. There's no escape. I'm alone, living in this terrible secret. I wish I knew what to do. But I'm lost. Lost and alone and so afraid. I'm so very, very afraid.
A telegram.
Back to Farthingale, end of week.
She reads it.
TT.
Her chest rises and falls. Later, Lee sits at Troy's bedside in the hospital.
I wish you were awake. Tony comes back from his trip soon. And so I have to make a decision. Just like my papa said.
She touches her stomach. She gags, then brings her hand to her mouth. She grabs a trash bin. The nurse rushes in.
Sweetheart, are you okay?
I've been sick for weeks. It's my stomach. Stress, I think.
The nurse knits her brow and feels Lee's stomach.
Have you been having your period, honey?
Lee looks at her, puzzled. That night, Jillian roughly puts her hands on Lee's belly through her nightgown. Jillian stares at her and retreats slowly.
How long have you been keeping this from me?
Lee cries.
No. No, this isn't going to happen. Do you understand me? I will not be a grandmother. I will not let you do this to me.
I didn't do anything. I told you it was him. He raped me.
No. It was you. You seduced him.
Lee shakes her head.
We are going to a special doctor tomorrow to do what I should have done when I was pregnant with you.
Now come. I'm not doing anything that you tell me to do ever again.
How dare you speak to me like that?
How dare you?
Lee's face darkens.
I don't know what I wish more for you. That you and Tony live together forever. Or that he leaves you old and penniless.
Lee glares at her. Jillian's mouth puckers and she runs off.
I'm my own woman now, Mother. Not yours or Tony's. Mine.
Lee looks down at her belly and rests her hands on it. Later that night, she pulls clothing from a drawer and packs it in a suitcase. She counts money, then places the diary in the suitcase. She picks up the angel doll and puts it in. Downstairs, Jillian drinks a martini as she walks through the foyer. Lee watches from the top of the stairs until she leaves. Then, Lee rushes down the steps with her suitcase in hand. She reaches the front door. She takes one last look at Farthingale. She runs down the estate's driveway toward the gates. A bus headed to Boston waits at the bus stop. Lee exits the station, walks down the steps, and boards the bus. She shows her ticket to the driver and finds a seat. A secretary reads a memo at the offices of Van Varine Cruise Lines as Lee enters.
Lee!
Her mouth gapes.
Hi.
I really need to speak with my father. Can you tell me where he is?
He's not here, sweetie.
Then where is he?
She sighs and puts down the memo.
He's at a wedding in the Caribbean.
What? Whose wedding?
His wedding, sweetheart. He tried to reach you to tell you himself, but...
I don't understand.
I'm so sorry. Your mother has made it very hard. He could go to jail for trying to see you, for violating the court order.
I would never want that.
She fingers her pendant.
I'd never want for him to go to jail.
She turns to go.
Wait, Lee!
She stops.
Where are you going?
Lee considers a moment.
The only place I can.
Lee!
A conductor stands beside a train at the station. Steam escapes as Lee approaches, carrying suitcases. She eyes a sign for Waco and steps aboard the train. Later, a taxi pulls up to a small house. She opens the door and steps out of the taxi. She steps up the walkway onto the front step. She peers in through the window on the door.
Come on in.
Grandma?
She rushes into the kitchen.
Hi.
A woman sits.
Who are you?
I'm Lorene, the realtor for the bank. I'm prepping this house for sale. Who are you?
Is this Jana Jenkins' house?
Yes.
My name is Lee. Jana's my grandmother.
Oh, hush. Was your grandmother, sweetie? She passed away a few nights ago.
Lee's mouth gapes and her eyes moisten. Lee rests her head on her suitcase. She sleeps curled up on a bench in a train station. Light streams in through casement windows. A porter spots her. He sighs and claps his gloved hands.
Can't sleep here, miss. Go home.
I don't have one.
Well, then find one. What's wrong with you? Don't you have a family?
Easy, mister.
A young man approaches.
She's fine. She's with me.
Both of yous.
He gestures.
Get lost.
She watches the porter leave.
You really don't have anywhere to go? That concerns me.
I'm fine, thank you.
How are you fine? You're all alone in a train station.
I can handle myself.
You can.
I've handled a lot more. I can do whatever I put my mind to.
Fair enough. So can I.
He sits.
But sometimes I find myself down on my luck. It doesn't mean you have to go against what you want for yourself. It'll take a little help from someone who wants nothing in return. Especially if you need it. And you, miss, need it. And maybe one day you'll be able to help me out.
The young man, Luke, notices her rub her belly.
What are you thinking?
Just that I could use something to eat.
How about this? You let me take you out to eat. You can get whatever you want.
He stands and extends his hand to her. She considers. A short while later, they sit together in a diner as a jukebox plays.
Huh. I've never been to a mansion.
And I've never been to the circus. Do you actually live there?
Well, there is no there. We camp and travel, spring to fall. And then, when the circus is off for the winter, I go back to my real home.
And where's that?
It's called Winnero. It's the country in West Virginia. With my family.
He fidgets with a French fry.
Maybe one day when we get married, I'll take you there.
Oh, yeah? Married?
Yeah. I had this strange vision when I first saw you.
She smiles brightly, then looks down.
I don't think I'll ever get married.
Why not?
Because I've seen what it's like. And I'm fine on my own.
I'm fine on my own, too. But who said people can't be fine on their own together?
She grins and he winks. That night at the fair, Luke throws a dart and pops a balloon.
Oh!
Yeah. All right.
What do we win?
Well, we can choose. Like cotton candy?
I've never had any.
Then you're missing out on life. It's the best thing there is.
He grabs a bag.
It's all yours. If I could just get a little kiss. Just a pat. It's your choice. I'm not trying to pressure you.
She looks him up and down and nods. They step toward each other and lean in until their lips meet. She smiles dreamily.
What part of heaven did you drop out of to arrive here, Lee?
Later that night, they approach the door to a motel room. Lee carries her suitcases in and looks at the bed. Luke follows behind.
All you need to do is stay safe and get a good night's rest. I'll be sleeping in my truck. Okay? I'll be right outside if you need me.
He turns to go.
It's cold.
He steps back in and she turns to him and purses her lips.
There's room on the bed.
He surveys the room, uncertain.
We don't have to touch.
He glances downward and considers.
How about I take the floor? But only if you insist on me staying.
She nods. He turns to close the door behind them. She places her suitcase on the bed and opens it. He looks inside.
Wow. That doll looks the spitting image of you.
It's a portrait doll. I sat for it.
Well, did they at least name her after you? The resemblance is kind of uncanny.
Actually, I got to name her. Her name is Angel.
That sure is what you are. I think from now on, that's what I'm going to call you, too. Angel. I'm going to go get my stuff.
He heads for the door, and she puts the doll back in the suitcase. That night, Lee turns over in the bed. Luke reclines on a nearby sofa, facing away from her. His hands are clasped against his chest.
I want you to stay with me, Angel.
She sits up in bed and looks at him.
Where?
Back at my home. Just till you decide what you want to do.
He lifts his head and turns to face her. She smiles.
Okay.
They gaze at each other from across the dark room. Then they each settle back into their beds. He smiles as he looks at the ceiling. The next day, a man plays banjo on a porch. He turns to see a truck approaching on the highway a short distance from the house. A woman takes a nightgown from a clothesline as the man slides the banjo strap over his head. The truck pulls up to the house and parks. Lee and Luke step out.
Baby boy, you're home.
Mama.
Luke hugs his mom.
Pops?
Good to see you, boy.
They shake hands.
Now, who is this?
This is Lee, but I call her Angel.
Lee shakes Luke's mother's hand.
She's down on her luck and needs our help. Got a place to stay?
Luke's mother spots Lee cradling her belly.
Well, we certainly can use some help with the chores in return.
I'd be happy to pitch in.
Fine. You're just in time. We have some preserves to put up.
Lee beams.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Luke's father reaches for Lee's luggage and she follows him inside.
Please don't judge.
I wouldn't. Is it yours?
I feel like that's unimportant, Ma.
His mother looks down and nods.
Okay. Then I feel the same.
They share a smile and walk arm in arm toward the house. Lee peels apples with Luke's mom as Luke and his dad roll a wheelbarrow full of fruit up to the porch. Luke brings them a bucket of apples.
When is an apple grouchy?
He looks at their faces.
When it's a crab apple.
Lee and Luke's mom smile and shake their heads. That night before bed, Lee and Luke hold hands by candlelight, then their lips meet. He wears an undershirt, and she is in her nightgown as they kiss. She pulls back.
What?
She looks up at him, then down at her lap.
You know, I mean, what happened?
Their eyes meet.
I'm not a virgin anymore.
It makes no difference, Lee. You're with me now.
She brightens, puts her hand on his cheek, and kisses him.
Angel, would you marry me?
What?
I don't have a ring or anything, and I'm sorry about that. But what I can do is build us a house and promise to love you and care for you and your baby forever. She'll do me the honor.
Are you serious? Yes, of course.
They kiss. Then on the big day, guests fill a barn.
I, Luke Castile, take you, my angel, Lee Van Vereen, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish and... I'm adding something here. Is that okay?
Of course.
The minister nods.
And by love and cherish and hold and all that, I mean as two equal parts of a whole in the eyes of the Lord. Till death do us part. Or if she ever just wants to leave me.
Lee, do you promise to love and to cherish Luke till death do you part?
I do.
You may kiss your bride.
They smile and kiss. Then they turn to face their guests, Luke in a vest and Lee in a white lace dress with flowers in her hair. She holds a bouquet to her belly. Luke's dad plays banjo with the band as townspeople polka on the barn floor. Luke walks through the crowd smiling. Then he spots Lee.
I love you, Luke.
I love you too, Angel.
They embrace and kiss.
How's my other angel doing in there?
I can feel her kicking hard.
Gets it from you.
They share a smile and their lips meet again. Then he takes her hand for a dance. At home in bed, Luke touches Lee's leg as she writes in her diary. He runs his hand over her nightgown and rests his palm on her belly. Then he tips the diary down and leans in for a kiss. They touch foreheads and grin at each other. The next day, Lee and Luke walk toward a clearing in the woods.
Where are you taking
me? I'm not gonna tell you.
She carries a picnic basket and he totes a blanket.
So?
They stop.
What do you think, Lee?
She glances around.
It's nice. What is it?
What is it? It's our new home. I mean, technically, it's our home site. But use your imagination. There's gonna be a big log house right here.
He gestures.
Okay, a small log house. But still big enough for us to start a family. Of course, I gotta get to work, but I finished clearing it. My dad and I are gonna start building soon. So that by winter, we'll be ready to move in. What does baby Castile think of the place?
That it's beautiful.
Now, it won't be a mansion.
I don't need a mansion, Luke.
I know.
Really?
It wouldn't make you any happier?
None. I'm already as happy as I can be.
Okay. Then it'll be a nice little place. I can smoke my pipe and you can knit while our children play.
She grabs her belly.
Angel? Are you okay?
I think my water just broke.
She falls to her knees.
Oh, I'm having this baby.
Right now? Okay, we gotta get you home. Come on.
I can't walk.
He grabs the blanket.
Hang on.
He puts it under her.
Yeah, lie down.
She lies on her side and holds her belly.
I'll go get the truck and get Mama, okay? She knows how to deliver. I'm gonna be a dad, Angel. Baby, I love you more than anything in the world.
You too, Luke.
They share a kiss.
I feel like I finally found my piece of heaven.
Fate is smiling on us. Here.
He grabs the angel doll from the picnic basket.
Okay. I'll be right back.
She clutches the doll and squints her eyes in pain as he runs off. The image fades into modern day. Annie reads the diary. Her brow furrows as she notices the writing stops mid-page and the rest of the book is empty. She flips to the back and finds a folded note and opens it.
Dear Mr. Tatterton, I regret to inform you that Lee Van Vereen Castile died in childbirth, giving birth to a daughter named Heaven. I'm sending you her diary, given to me by a man who said it gave him too much pain to keep it, Luke Castile.
Annie considers as her husband Luke enters.
Hey, Annie. Funeral's about to start.
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute.
Okay.
He ducks out and she looks down at the paper, then folds it and puts it back inside the journal. She places the diary on the desk and heaves a sigh before gathering her purse and standing to leave. The brown leather diary embossed with a heart remains in Lee's old bedroom as Annie joins Luke downstairs. They study the portrait of Lee over the hearth.
Were you able to find anything out?
That as a young girl, she had the courage to escape the only world she knew and become her own woman.
Sounds remarkable.
Annie smiles.
She was.
See where you get in.
She turns and grins at him. He takes her hand. As they walk out, Annie glances over her shoulder at the portrait of the grandmother she never knew. Final credits, starring Lee, Jennifer Laporte, Tony, Max Lloyd-Jones, Jillian, Cindy Busby, Cleve, David Lewis, Luke, Tim Donat, Troy, Liam Hughes, Annie, Lizzie Boys, Luke Jr., Keenan Tracy, Edith, Eileen Barrett, Grandma Jana, Iris Quinn, Luke's mother, Monique Phillips, Luke's father, Lee Friesen, production manager, Michael Magnuson, first assistant director, Vince Coates, second assistant director, Kevin Royce, associate producers, Annie Story and Marley Reed. Copyright 2019, WOD Productions, ULC, all rights reserved. Really Real Films, Nishama Entertainment, Mar Vista Entertainment. This has been a presentation of Lifetime.